All right. It is 12:30 here in lovely Port Townsend. And time once again on Thursday for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark, here with my esteemed co-host, John Morrow.
2 weeks in a row, Taylor.
Your esteemed.
Wow.
Well, by the time we finish, we'll see. We'll be unesteemed.
Yeah,
today, actually, I asked John to please cancel what we had planned, which I hope we're putting off till next week.
We will, yes.
And because we're going to talk about this new transportation district thingy.
We will. We'll talk about the comprehensive streets plan. Program. We'll talk about public works. We'll have Steve King
on. We'll have Steve King here. Always fun.
We'll probably talk about funding also,
Funding, always important. But I asked John to change it up today because there has been a lot of heat and light in the community, smoke coming out from under people's hats about what happened at the city council meeting 2 weeks ago now regarding the golf course.
Yeah, well, I'd like to believe some of that smoke is like resembles some good thinking and some work done. And I think we've made some progress, but let's be honest, there's some people scratching their heads wondering, well, what exactly happened? What was decided?
Well,
where are we going?
I'm one of those.
Yeah.
So
that's
me,
why we're here.
Let me start by the way, we have Kerry Height with
we
us today,
do.
Who is the Port Townsend Director of Strategic Planning for Parks.
Yeah.
Is that close enough?
That's close enough, Taylor.
Hey, Kerry.
Hi, Taylor. Hi, John.
Hi. And and she is here today to help me answer this next question.
Yeah.
So let me just start by, and I know people aren't tuning in to hear my perspective, but I kind of think that my perspective, which is admittedly a little uneducated, might be a commonly held opinion in the community. And so I'm actually kind of hoping, John, you can talk me down out of this.
Oh, but, good. Okay.
Okay. So my understanding is, and as I was just saying out here, since you started as Port Townsend City Manager, the city has done an increasingly good job of trying to engage the public in things that are coming up that affect the public. And I think the poster child for that, in my view, has been this parks process that Kerry has been heading up for us.
Yeah.
And you and I, for months, have been saying, please come to these meetings, put little stickies on things, multi-vote. There's been a stakeholders committee. And there's been a long process that that yielded, apparently, two competing proposals. I'll get you, Kerry. Explain what those are. And those came up to City Council, and City Council has the tough job of trying to sort those out because they are apparently incompatible. And that in the meeting 2 weeks ago, David Faber proposed, Mayor Faber proposed a third decision, a third choice to be considered.
Right.
And the city council agreed that they would consider that proposal. And I think that's left some people feeling, it left me feeling like I thought that we had been through a long process to gather all of the facts and to come up with the proposals. And I kind of wonder where David's proposal was in that process. So, what I kind of sense, again, I try not to read the social media, but what I sense is there's confusion on the part of both people who actively participated in the process and maybe people who are more distantly connected to the process like me about what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
And so, and I also ought to add, though, that as far as what we do with the golf course, I'm more interested in the process.
Yeah.
I actually,
fair.
There's a lot of choices and I figure better people who know more about than me are making.
And me too.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to have a personal opinion about this injected into the public debate would be
so I don't want to. So we're not here really to debate
no.
the validity of the, of the different proposals, but I just kind of want, I'd like to talk a little bit about maybe what they are and so can we ask Kerry to...
Yeah, well, I think maybe before we go to what is proposed, I hate to say this, but I'll be kind of crude. I mean, kind of low bar for engagement when I started. We didn't do, I mean, as a community, we're a very engaged community and have high expectations. And I think about the 1993 comprehensive plan process. I mean, just some big things we've done as a community that have been awesomely inclusive. In a way, I feel like some of that kind of... didn't carry forward for a little while. And of course, then we had this pandemic. So I think the context is, my team and I came in feeling like, yes, let's kind of reboot how we work with our community. And I guess, there's there's some pros and cons to that. You know, never really an overall con to have engagement, but it does mean that it's harder to get to yes. And I think, you know, in a community with multiple perspectives and people with time and energy to express them, which is partly why I'm here. I mean, that's an amazing part about being in this community. You know, it's a lot easier if a couple people show up and say, I think we should do this, and then council votes. That's most communities and most city managers I talk to, that tends to be generally what happens. I mean, you know, some interest groups come in, but, you know, it's less of a fully debated, contested conversation, which is lovely, because then we have 10,000 ideas and we have a lot of energy and interest and passion injected into a process. The challenge is finding a way to say, okay, we hear everybody. And there's a decision that falls out of that process. And I will say, I'm going to guess not everyone understands, and it's not their fault. I mean, we don't make it very clear ourselves how public policy decisions happen. Mm-hmm. And I want to get clear. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about it today, because getting to a decision, you know, even the stakeholder group or advisory bodies or, you know, people that have been consulted on this, there has been confusion on who ultimately makes the call. You said it earlier. You know, it's a city council decision, and, mm-hmm. and we essentially vote for who represents us to, you know, mm-hmm. if we don't like the decision, we can vote them out or whatever it might be. But I don't think that's commonly understood, that actually, you know, hearing all perspectives doesn't mean it leads to an obvious answer. It requires some serious trade-offs, and council's in the hot seat here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe we bring a little of this on ourselves by that as we do a better job of engagement, people then get more invested in their viewpoint and maybe feel like that ought to be chosen? Like if we hadn't done it, if we hadn't, you talked about city councils all over the country, maybe if we hadn't done such a good job of engagement, people will be less concerned.
Oh, I mean, I think you could make decisions in a vacuum and eventually that kind of catches up to you, because if the community doesn't feel heard,
right.
You know, that's just unstable. And it's kind of a missed opportunity cost here of like, why not harness the energy and the intelligence and the, you know, community feeling around this? I think the challenge is when you add those numbers up, and I think, you know, you think about the process too, you know, recently we've heard quite a lot at city council, and I've seen, you know, look at my perspective piece in the PT Leader yesterday. I mean, I'm kind of calling out like, hey, let's just remember how to talk to each other in a way we can actually hear each other. And I applaud those who have done so and done so respectfully, even if we vociferously disagree. But I think in the timeline of this process, because it's been over a year, there are people who got engaged early and thought, great, I took the survey, one of a couple, I've given my thoughts, I've written a letter, I've had my say, I'm going to go back to my job and my family and kind of carry on. And by incorporating only, you know, some might say perspectives that have come more recently, we don't want to discount those who've started engaging early in the process. Mm-hmm. Now, if you truncated that and you only had like a week to have your say, it'd be a lot easier. But I think the long answer is yes. I think we bring that upon ourselves, but it's our duty.
But to bring it upon ourselves.
Yeah. But let's decode these two alternatives and then this third version that really the council, I mean, mayor proposed it, but the council unanimously said, let's investigate this. They didn't say we're going to do this. They didn't say we're not going to do golf. They just said, we need to know what this option looks like. And essentially the big picture, it's kind of a hybrid of the two options. It's the middle ground between a park and a hybrid golf option. And Carrie, can you help us understand what both those options are and this middle ground?
You bet. So this is just, to John's point, it's been a 10-month process, an iterative process. Mm-hmm. And so we start with four options. We narrowed it down to two with the community input. It's been a tremendous amount of community input, from comments on the website to the surveys to the open houses to online open houses to, I mean, we have over a couple thousand, if not 5,000 comments on this process.
Yep.
And so to John's point, it's hard when you get a lot of input. What do? Right. You listen to everybody. You try to listen to everybody. So this iterative process brought it down to two options. One was a central park option and one was a hybrid option, which took out the driving range and made space for the rest of the community along Blaine Street. Mm-hmm. So it moved holes 5 and 6 over to the driving range area, and it opened up a linear park along Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
That was a difficult conversation between the hybrid and the Central Park, only because there was some sentiment and comments and input that said, well, you can't really get rid of the driving range. You need a golf course. And so then you need it with a golf course. And so then it doesn't allow for any room for any other amenities that the community is asking for or mm-hmm. the rest of the community mm-hmm. is asking for.
Okay.
We've had the combination results from Open House 2 and 3, which were all iterative and added in together, was 42% of the public in town wanted a Central Park option and 33% wanted a golf course. And we had, you know, random 18% that wanted a hybrid option. They were trying to find a win-win. Mm-hmm. We had maybe 9% that were undecided. So when you have that, those numbers in front of you, you know that the community is polarized.
Right.
They're divided.
Yeah.
And the stakeholders are just an amazing group of people. They've committed some time and passion and energy to this process. They've been meeting monthly since September, and they really, at one of our few last meetings that we had, really wanted to try to find a win-win with the community. Well, let's try to find a win-win. And then the Robert Horner's plan showed up on the street. And Robert Horner's plan is the golf course in its entirety with the driving range and a couple of little corners of the golf course with some amenities that might fit in. But it wouldn't accommodate the dog park, which we really do need to move the dog park if we rebuild the pool. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't, I actually declined to enter that into the process because we've had many, many different plans that have mm-hmm. shown up. And I just said, I'll just put it in the comments. Council certainly can consider it. This is a concept process. It's for council to see concepts mm-hmm. and then decide from the concepts that the community talked about how they want those to land on the golf course property. So the two options were Central Park and hybrid without a driving range. Mm-hmm. And those two were talked about from council. To John's point, what happened at the last stakeholders meeting, and it was in the council memo, so if anybody wants to go online, we have it on our Envision site, City of Port Townsend Envision, and then Envision Port Townsend Golf Course in Mountain View Commons. Mm-hmm. But at the very last stakeholder meeting, every stakeholder trying to find a win-win, trying to find some commonality,
right.
Went around individually and were very divided on, oh, I want a Central Park, I want a hybrid, I want a, except for one person who said, you know, I've been listening to the community, and what I have heard is that maybe a Central Park with a nod to golf might be the best option. It's a kind of a split the middle. It's in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like, keep the driving range, keep the putt-putt, to put a miniature putt-putt golf in, but then open up the rest of the land mm-hmm. for the community. And that's what Mayor Faber, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think he was trying to get at that and charged staff with going back to the stakeholders to flesh that option out.
That was the result of the vote on
and it was to flesh an option out so that they can consider the concept. They can see what it looks like and have a little bit more time to discern and come back to a decision.
So we were talking earlier and you said that there's a similarity between what Mayor mm-hmm. Faber proposed
yeah.
and what was bubbling up in the stakeholders group. And that do you feel that it's a compromise? It's somewhere between the two? Is that?
I mean, I am going to have a stakeholder meeting on Monday, and they're going to flesh it out. But they didn't get a chance.
<Good for them.
laughs> They didn't get a chance to talk about it. It was at the very last minute of the very last meeting, and somebody suggested we take a straw poll vote, and we took a straw poll vote, and 8 out of the 13 stakeholders that were there had voted for that Central Park option with the nod to golf.
And so really, in some ways, the vote 2 weeks ago gave the stakeholders another chance to look at this?
Yes, it did, yeah.
I think that what's interesting is
I'm feeling talked down.
I think these two things actually, I'm pretty sure, happened independent of each other. And not that they should be or shouldn't be, but I think it was almost this, I'd like to believe as a creative community, you know, we don't know exactly what all the right answers are, but if we kind of engage in good faith, you know, again, back to the kind of spurred, you know, this whole process spurred that article that I wrote in the Leader this week. You know, if we can kind of hang together and wrestle with it, much like we do as department director team at the city, you know, we come in with widely different perspectives mm-hmm. and have really robust arguments mm-hmm. and we all leave a bit smarter. And I think as a community, we can do that too. And so I think there's, you know, there's this natural level. We want to make space for that. And so the stakeholder group got right to that kernel of like, oh my gosh, oh yeah, okay, here's this new evolution and thinking right kind of when the buzzer went off. And then at the same time, I think, you know, I know council members read all their stuff, and there was a lot to read. The packet was like 100-something pages. I mean, yeah. There was a ton of information, yeah. And it was even condensed a bit. And they went through, I would be like, are you ready for the meeting? And they, I'm still reading the packet. I mean, they tell me. And I think actually Mayor Faber particularly came to the idea of, you know, after reading every piece of information, the kind of same conclusion that the stakeholder group did at the same time. And that's how it entered into the conversation at the city council meeting. It's almost like a little bit of a serendipitous, like, you know, yeah, okay, what is the middle ground? And I mean, I'll be honest, I have a suspicion, I can't confirm this, but each council member might have their own personal opinion about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I know for a fact that this is not the mayor's preferred position personally. It's not at all. In fact, that's not their job. Their job is to think, what is the community's voice here?
I think I heard a council member say that they try to make decisions based on what's good for the most people.
Well, I think all of them do, actually. Yeah. And I know that that's, you know, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I will. You know, the mayor confided this wasn't his preferred option for the golf course, but he thought this was the way to get to yes for the community. And I really respect that from decision makers who are in the hot seat. And, you know, you could go on social media, like I allude to in that piece this week in Leader. You know, you could read all sorts of conspiracy theories about me, about David, about Carrie, about the process. I would caution whether you believe them or not, but I mean, hand over heart, these folks are trying to make tough decisions about our future. And, you know, not everyone's going to be happy. Yeah. There's no solution that actually pleases everybody. That's the hard part. Okay. And it's probably true for every decision that's made at a big, you know, community-wide level. You know, whatever we do with streets or with housing. Or, I mean, the unfortunate thing is we can listen to everybody and we can take as many perspectives into account as possible, wrestle in that creative space. And then the decision might actually, you know, technically please no one 100%.
Right.
You know?
This is a good time to remind our listeners that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now! Here on KPTZ. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm talking with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow and Director of Strategic Planning for Parks. You know, I put those words in different order every time, don't I?
Yeah, it's okay.
And I should remind listeners, if you have a question for us, we're talking about the golf course decision and where it stands, and we're sort of having a kind of a meta discussion about the process. But you can email questions to dj@kptz.org, and I will see if we can ask them. But. Yeah. I guess the plan, presumably, for the stakeholder group was that they're that I sort of feel like they're it's almost like they've been selected for jury duty, as you described.
I think it's worse than that.
Yeah,
actually.
As you described their efforts, and I thought, oh my God, they're locked in the jury room, and they can't leave until they decide, you know, unanimously that the guy's guilty or innocent, and until then they can't go home. So they probably thought their job was done, presumably.
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And now we have called them back.
Yeah. Out of retirement.
Wow.
Back to the...
We pleaded with them.
I mean, this is the magic of Kerry. I mean, I just stewarding a process this complex and a community this engaged really requires an expert. And we're lucky to have one because otherwise this... I mean, we've been kicking the can down the road for a long, long time because we haven't had that.
3 years we gave them a 3-year lease and that lease expires in December. So we are actually up against a deadline.
We are up against a deadline. That's right.
Yeah.
But I think, there's a lot to say about how to steward a process where, you know, if we could all just, you know, take the heat and light out of it in our own kind of, you know, change is hard no matter what the issue, and try to think about the future, try to think of what's best for the most people over the long term. You know, just let your mind wander there a little bit. The insights might surprise you. And if we could do that as a community, all the better. I think that's what we'll see with the stakeholders. And maybe a word about them. I mean, yeah, they didn't necessarily sign up for something this rigorous, and actually some of the community tone and feedback has been intimidating to some.
Oh, have they been catching hell too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that's my job, you know, to some degree, but I don't know if they knew that that's what they were signing up for. And so I think, I mean, this is very much like what we read in our leadership books when we have our book club as a, you know, a city team.
Yeah.
You know, we reference a lot Brené Brown and and her work. And there's something in there, a theory about, like, you know, it's really easy to sit up in the cheap seats and throw stuff down at the arena and be like, oh, you're doing it wrong. And kind of you could do that anonymously on social media, or you can do that just with insults or whatever. It's really hard to be down in the arena making it happen.
Yeah.
And that's what the stakeholder group is doing. They are wading up to their necks in difficulty and really, really trying to take one for the team here. They've got nothing personal really to gain. They're just trying to envision our community's future. That's guts. Let's just say that's gutsy.
They're not getting a medal for this.
No. Yeah. It's gutsy. And I just, for those who want to be critical, please be critical, but please be nice, because actually it's so easy to be critical. It's so easy to have a flaw, outline a spelling mistake in something. And you're like, okay, great. But you put yourself out there, you be vulnerable, you tell us what you actually think should happen, not what you're upset about. And that's a tough space for some people.
Well, I'm actually a little more curious about this hybrid solution. Mm. Not the hybrid is one of the two, right?
Right,
That's the shorthand for it. This compromise solution.
Yeah.
Can you go into a little more detail of what that would look like?
Sure. The way that I understand it, and the way that we're going to flesh it out at the stakeholders meeting on Monday, so it might take a different shape after the stakeholders start to talk about it. But what I understand is that we would continue to have some golf element on the course, whether it be the driving range or the putt-putt practice course or a chipping practice course or all of the three of the above, and a miniature golf course maybe, and then opening up the clubhouse to have a restaurant, an outdoor restaurant with fire pits, and have some kids activities, and have a dog. We want to move the dog park over to that area as well. But for the most part, I think it just, you know, having a perimeter trail so people can walk around the course and bike around the course and have access to the course.
Right. Where right now they can't really kind of cross the curb onto the grass.
Right.
And
that's correct.
So we would try to
Open it up.
We have a question, and I think it sort of fits in, because you mentioned, and I'm not sure I understand it, so I'm just going to read it. It says, it is golf course versus dogs. Considering there isn't a need for a huge parking lot for the aquatic center, do we really need to move the dogs?
If the aquatic center doesn't happen, we don't need to move the dog park. But if it does happen, which is one of our strategic plans, is to rebuild the pool, because the current pool is in such bad repair, then we do need to make a space. We need to find a space for the golf course.
For the dog park.
It's very difficult to locate a dog park in a community. There's a lot of people that come out and don't want the dog park near them. And
don't listen, Sage.
Yeah, sorry, Sage.
I don't think he's in here. He must be out there. Okay. Because he's been looking at the dog park all day. But, you know, the dog park we have is actually fairly small as dog parks go, and that puts a lot of pressure on the land that it's on.
Would
we envision making it a little bigger if we move it?
Yes, we definitely could. There are some ideas to have smaller dog parks pop up in different areas of town as well, and that could be a possibility. That's a little more difficult than finding one location, just because then you're negotiating three or four or five processes of where do we put a dog park, and talking to the neighbors in the community about their interest in where the dog parks are.
This kind of goes to the ethos of the planning effort, which included the Mountain View campus here.
Yep.
Because, you know, you get more if you kind of draw it all together and think about a holistic approach. And I think that's what we're trying to do is, you know, there's a nice job with the FedEx truck avoidance. Well done. Taylor's quick on the window.
I am a radio professional.
You know, and just there, if you made each decision in a silo, it's just you get worse. The outcomes are not the same. You know, if you think about it kind of as a set of puzzle pieces, really.
Oh, right. If you try to make the golf course deal with the golf course and then deal with the aquatic center as two different things, but there's really a lot of crossover.
There's synergies. And you think about, I mean, I guess I imagine, well, what would it look like if this was, it is a hub, but how can you enhance a community hub that has amenities for everybody? I mean, that's another lens to look at this whole process is, you know, whether you want golf or pool or dog or anything else. I mean, how does this become something that attracts people, gets them outside healthy, connecting with each other? You know, that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
Okay. Well, I got to say, from my own standpoint, the picture Carrie was painting there at the end about what might be in this third way, is intriguing, and I wish you and the stakeholders the best of luck doing that. But you painted an evocative picture of, you know, maybe some fire pits and kids' activities, and I particularly like the walking around the perimeter kind of thing. John, there's one more question here, which is not about the golf course.
Oh, okay, great.
But I, given that it got sent in, I thought we have about another minute. Hastings Building. What's the plan? The wharf is collapsing, and a collapsing fence is an eyesore for arriving cruise ship passengers.
Thank you for the question. That is,
is it on your list of things to worry about?
Well, I mean, we worry about it, but we don't want to get in the way of sort of legal matters between parties and the city. Mm-hmm. And so I can't really speak to that because that's really where it's at right now. There's there are folks talking about it legally, and we're kind of watching that happen with interest.
Private.
Yeah.
Privately.
Yeah,
talking
privately.
About it.
Privately. I mean, it's just, there's a lot moving there, and it's been, I don't want to say, as someone who's relatively new to Port Townsend, I don't want to say intractable, but there obviously hasn't been any change there in a while. And so, you're right to say.
It isn't really, it isn't currently a city issue.
No, it's not currently a city issue. I mean, except as much as we regulate shoreline activity and heights, and you know, there's interpretations that we've given on shoreline activity, including that site. It's quite complex legally, but you know, if that person who sent that in wants to ping me an email, I'll try to give you as much as I can for information there.
I'll
forward it to me.
I'll forward it.
Hey, one thing, a final pitch for tonight: we have an open house, a virtual open house on a different issue.
Yay!
A different issue. It's on the Evans Vista neighborhood.
Oh yeah, good.
So we're doing a public outreach virtual event. It's really to share concept plans and get feedback. You might have seen us last week at Concerts at the Docks, which we had incredible engagement.
I did.
Tons of people. Yep. It was so much fun. We'll have the architects there. We have, including those who were here last week, like Amos. Mm-hmm. You know, those information boards that were there last week will be up on the screen. You could find that. Just go to our Facebook page, Facebook/, City of PT, and you could see.
It's a virtual.
It's virtual. You could click into the Zoom meeting. It's at 6 o'clock this evening.
Okay.
So join us if you want to learn more about Evans Vista. And you could also go to our website, which has a lot about the project.
All right. I want to say thank you to Carrie Height for coming down and letting me vent a little bit. and I thank you, John, for talking me down a little. I hope this was useful for people who were like me, upset about the process.
Yeah.
It's complex. I think there's more moving parts than we see from the outside.
I appreciate the spirit of our esteemed co-hosting, navigating around the issue, and actually trying to be honest about what we're trying to do and asking some good questions. You're always there for us there, so thank you.
Taylor, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.